2 Chronicles chapter 34. We can read again verse 14 and verse 19. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And then in verse 19, it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. There was a time not so very long ago when our concern would be if somebody withdrew themselves from the church. If a person in this community didn't come to church, it would be a great concern for that individual. But today, surely the great concern is this: what if the church is withdrawn? What if the church is taken away from this society? I'm not talking about the buildings. I'm not talking about the ecclesiastical structure. I'm talking about people gathering before the Lord, waiting upon him, hearing his word, uniting in worship. You know, you may have the buildings, you may have the ecclesiastical structure, you may have gatherings, but if the word of God is taken away, if the people of God no longer meet together, what darkness. In many ways, you can see the effect of that already in our society. But what if the Lord were to finally remove the church? What if the Lord was to remove his word? Well, I want us to see what we can learn in this passage we've read, which describes a situation when the cause of God was very low, when the word of God lay forgotten in a land. Isn't it an amazing thing that when they went to the temple, and as they began to work in the temple, that they discovered a book of the law? They discovered the book of Moses, very probably Deuteronomy, perhaps the whole of the Pentateuch. They stumbled across it. The word of God had been forgotten. I want to ask a question. How can you forget God's word? How can you forget God's word? How could it be that the people of God forgot the word of God? It was lost in the temple. There are many negative effects in our society through the poisonous lie of evolution. But one of them is the idea that previous generations were not like us. It's an arrogant, it's an ignorant worldview. Human nature does not change from generation to generation. When you consider the very tangible hostility in our society to God's word, when you see how God's word is caricatured and misrepresented and dismissed, when you see that people are happy to hear a misrepresentation of God's word and to dismiss it without ever going to see what God's word says, when you see the reluctance of the visible church to hold to the word of God and to preach clearly the claims of Christ, when the public face of the church is civilized, ecclesiastical politicians speaking. Platitudes. Empty words. Refusing to turn to the scripture. Friends, in our own society, the word of God has been deemed irrelevant and is rejected. And that's surely what happened in these days too. Before Josiah, his father Amon was a wicked king. Before Amon was Manasseh. Now Manasseh was an outrageous king. In the good providence and the great mercy of God, Manasseh was wonderfully converted. He was brought back. He'd been taken into exile. He was brought back, a humbled man, a changed man. But his sin had been such that he had led his nation into sin. So that it polluted that society. So the societal norm, the attitude of society was one which was hostile to the word of God. And what happens in a society which is hostile to the word of God? Well, there's a temptation, isn't there? And you know it yourself. There's a temptation for those who have conviction, who have a knowledge of the truth, to remain quiet. There's a temptation to hold back. There's a temptation to withdraw and to keep your head down and not draw any attention to yourself so you don't encounter trouble. You know, friends, when the church is discouraged, when the church is intimidated, and when the church compromises. That compromise, it perpetuates and it exacerbates. Think of the armour of God. It's described. Described in Ephesians chapter 6. And it describes, using the illustration of what a soldier would wear, the way the Lord equips his people to go on and to stand. And there's a helmet. And there's a shield, and there's a breastplate, and there's a sword. There's nothing for the back. Why was the soldier's back not armoured? It's because the soldier was never to turn his back. Because the soldier was never to turn round and retreat, but rather the soldier was to go on. And so it is in the Christian church. We're called to stand and to advance, but never go back. When there's a going back, there's a vulnerability. When there's going back, there's disaster. How can you forget the word of God? Do you know how you can forget the word of God? It's by neglecting the word of God. Because if you neglect God's word, that neglect will exacerbate, it will perpetuate, it will accelerate a decline. Isn't it amazing? They discovered the word of God and they hadn't even known it was missing. Even the priests seemed surprised. I've discovered the word of God. And so it's brought to the king. You know, when God's word is not front and center, the church loses confidence and quickly forgets. You know that yourself, don't you? You know that yourself, that if you neglect to take time to read God's word one day, if you don't have time to pray, you don't have time to reflect, how, if you start to make excuses for that, before long you start avoiding His word. It becomes normal. It becomes something strange. You reach the point where you've all but forgotten the abundant mercy of the living God. You've all but forgotten the gracious love and the embrace of Christ. How can you forget God's word? You forget God's word when you begin to neglect God's word. And so, before long, you find yourself very far away. And the trials in life, the very things which should bring you to repentance, seem to rather propel you even further and further to a dark place. Here in the temple. Temple was central in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was central in the nation. And yet, what was given in the gracious mercy of God to complement and to illustrate what was contained in His word had become something which was more tradition than it was significant. How can you forget God's word? Well, when you neglect God's word and you just go through the formalities and the ritual unthinking, unappreciatively, Jeremiah the prophet warns against this attitude. He says, "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." You see, Jeremiah's day, the temple, it kind of fueled a presumption. We have the temple of the Lord. The Lord is with us. Jeremiah is saying, don't trust in the temple of the Lord, but rather the Lord of the temple. Humble yourself and cry out to Him. But His word had been forgotten. How can you forget God's word? Surely that's a warning for us today as a church. It's a warning for us as a society. You know, every word will be preserved. Our Lord spoke in these terms. He said, not one jot or tittle will pass from the word. Every pen stroke will be preserved. The word of God will be kept entire. But that doesn't mean that it will be kept with you. Heed these solemn words spoken to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The candlestick, the church. The word of God would be removed unless there was a repentance, a returning to acknowledge sin and the righteousness of God. You know, this is the policy of our Savior. Remember His instructions to His disciples. As He sent them out with the word, He said, "Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust of your feet for a testimony against them." Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Friends, if we forget the word of God, we will lose the word of God. Without repentance, the neglected word will be the withdrawn word. And how does he withdraw his word? He withdraws his word by allowing his church to decline. From whom does he withdraw his word? He withdraws his word from those who do not desire it. The Lord does not take his word from a willing people. He does not take his word from a willing people. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're told that you will be filled, you shall be satisfied, you shall have what your heart and your soul desires. But if there is no hunger, if there is no thirsting, there is no desiring, if there is no remembering, if rather there is a forgetting, then the word will be withdrawn. Now I know that neither you nor I can build the church. That's the work of our Lord himself. And that's a work that he will do. But I know that he builds his church through the testimony of the church, through the proclamation of his word. And so while you and I cannot build the church, you and I, we can commit ourselves to advancing the testimony of Christ. We can commit ourselves to recognizing the reality of his word, seeking his blessing for ourselves and for our families and for our society and for the nations of the earth. But if we don't, if we neglect, then we will forget. And the word will be taken from us, from our children, from our grandchildren, from our neighbors, from our society. You see the effects, the horror of sin, the darkness of unbelief. There's a veneer in our society, isn't there, that everything's great. But you know that underneath, there's a darkness and a despair, a hopelessness. You know, obedience is costly. Obedience is costly. Obedience means taking up your cross and following after Christ. It means bearing the reproach of Christ in a hostile world. But disobedience is more costly. Disobedience is more costly. And there is a cost that you must bear yourself, but also others. Some people speak about the debt, the national debt that will be left to succeeding generations because the way that the fiscal policy in our society is worked. That may be a legitimate concern. But what about the far greater burden if we leave them with no gospel light? How can you forget God's word? But I have another question. How can you find God's word? Because that's what we read about here, isn't it? God's word had been forgotten, but it was discovered. Can we learn something? Can we learn? How can you find God's word? Well, so much seems to center upon King Josiah. He was 8 years old when he was crowned king. And it's 8 years later, the age of 16, age when he has reached a level of maturity, he has a level of independence, and he is given a concern for his soul. So that we're told, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, when he was 20, he began to clear and to purge the land of its idolatry. And then it was when he was 26 that he comes to the temple to repair and to renovate this place which had been neglected and had been was neglected and worn down. There's development. There's progression. We see this man, Josiah, that this became his public policy. It wasn't simply a private conviction. It began as a private conviction. But that conviction increased to the place where he began to act, to the place where the whole of the nation was engaged in bringing down off the idols and the false altars. Surely there is a lesson here, and we see the principle of repentance, an act of repentance, putting right what was wrong. And he did not cease. In the age of 16, for 10 years and for more. Until he finds the word of God. And where does he find the word of God? He encounters God's word at the place of worship, at the place of sacrifice. He encounters God's word at the place where Christ is most readily seen, where atonement is made, where the nation was to gather, where God was to be sought. Where did he find God's word? He found God's word as he seeked to advance the honour of God. As he seeked to advance the honour of God, he had a clearer discovery of God and his holiness. How can you find God's word? This is how, friends. You find God's word as you draw near to God himself. You might say to yourself, how did he reach that stage? How did he travel so far without having the word? For 10 years, there's a seeking the Lord. For 6 of these years, there's this great work of reformation in society. How did he manage? Well, on one level, there was simply the testimony of conscience, wasn't there? His conscience was tender. He was aware of his own sin. The light of nature was sufficient to show him the reality of God. And also the madness of idolatry. You know, if your gods are engraven, if your gods are molten, then they're no gods at all. But not only did he have a conscience with the light of nature, but there was a testimony of his grandfather. You know, Manasseh, in his day, had been a wicked king like Amon, his father, Josiah's father. But Manasseh did not end as Amon ended, because Manasseh, though he was famous for his sin, was brought to the place of repentance. And although Josiah was only 6 years old when his grandfather died. He would have known and remembered and also been told about the transformation in society when Manasseh was changed by the grace of God. But also he was a man who was seeking God. And as he cried out to God with a tender conscience, surely the Lord gave light. The Lord gave him an understanding and directed him. And although he has not yet discovered the law of God that was hidden in the temple, maybe he has the words of the prophets and the words of the psalmist. Maybe he has some of the history, the historical narrative that we have in Scripture. That was the history of his nation, and he would have been taught that as a king. There were the priests. There was the structure of society around the temple and the worship of God. And if all of these were influences, and all of these would instruct and inform him, and he acted upon the light that he had, and the Lord was pleased to give him greater light. How can you find God's word? The answer, friend, is to act upon the light that you already have. To cry out to God for greater light. To humble yourself and to confess your sin, and not to hold back, but to repent. To hunger and thirst after righteousness, to put right what is wrong. You know, you have the whole Bible. I don't know everyone who's listening to this beyond the church here tonight, but I know you here today. Not only do you have the Bible, but you have the conviction that the Bible is God's word. It's been burned into your conscience, isn't it? This is the word of the living God. But you know what's important is that you also act upon that. That you act upon what God has revealed. For if you fail to act upon what God has revealed to you, it may be lost while it's in your very hands. You know, there's many people with an unopened Bible upon a shelf at home. And that unopened Bible is precious because it was their mother's, or it was their father's, or their grandmother's. But there's no understanding of the word, because there's been no acting upon the word. Act upon the light that you have, and come and worship at the place of sacrifice. Bow down at the foot of the cross and give honour unto him. How can you find God's word? By drawing near to God and giving him glory. You've maybe heard the story of St. Augustine, that great leader in the early church. He was a godless man. His mother was a believer. His father was a pagan. He lived a very hedonistic life. But he was a great thinker also. He had a great mind. And one day, in despair at the vanity of his life, he was in a garden and he overheard children playing a game. And the children in their sing-song voice were singing, "Tolly leggy, tolly leggy," which meant pick up and read, pick up and read. And there beside him he found the word of God, and he picked up and he read. But it wasn't just that he picked up and he read, but he read and he acted upon what he read. How can you find God's word? By picking up and reading and acting upon it. How can you forget God's word? Just by neglecting it. How can you find God's word? By humbling yourself and seeking his grace and opening the scripture and beginning to read. But thirdly, how can you follow God's word? Well, we're told what Josiah did in verse 19 when he heard the words of the law. He rent his clothes. The king tore his clothes as an expression of the anguish and the despair at the realization of his sinfulness before the holiness of God. Now, he had some awareness of the holiness of God, and he had some awareness of his particular need. But when the clarity of the word was expressed to him, when he saw in that greater measure the demands of a holy God, he bowed low and confessed his sin and cried out for mercy. You know, the finding of God's word, it wasn't the end, it was the beginning. And he sought the Lord, and so he sent his men to the prophetess Huldah. And she explained the word of God to him. She explained the significance of the word. The word was open to him, and he was told that surely judgment would come, but yet there was salvation. Judgment would come, but he would be saved. Judgment would come, but there was mercy and deliverance. Why? Because with a tender heart, he humbled himself and sought the mercy and grace of God. And so what did Josiah do? Josiah gathered the nation together and he declared the word of God to them. So that they too would hear, so that they too would know, so that they too might bow themselves and rend their clothes and cry out for grace. It's not the tearing of the clothes, it's the tearing of the heart. He made covenant before the people with the people. He called the people to make covenant with God. Chapter 35. You can go on and read when you get home about the great Passover. And we're told there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He acted with zeal. Zeal for the glory of God and concern for the souls of those around him. He was the king of the people. He had a responsibility for them, and so he led them in repentance. You know, the law, he discovered, as Paul would say in Galatians, was his schoolmaster, and it led him to Christ. A broken heart and a conviction of sin, a spirit of repentance, he found the glory of God's mercy in Christ. And that animated him to live his life for the glory of God. How are you to follow God's word? It's in the discovery of Christ. How are you to discover Christ? Is by being brought under the sound of the gospel to recognize your sin and to see him as the only Saviour. It says in Psalm 119 in verse 130, "The entrance of thy words gives light, makes wise who simple are." How can you forget God's word just by simple neglect? It might seem shocking to you, but to forget God's word is really quite easy. Many people in our society who have forgotten the word of God. How can you find God's word? In humbling yourself and acting according to the light that you have, and seeking greater life and pursuing His glory. And how can you follow His word? It's in a greater repentance, in a continual repentance, and a recognizing of Christ as the one who is worthy of all praise. How can you follow God's word, friends? Begin at the place of worship. Now, let me be clear. When I say that, I imply no criticism of those who tonight are not able to be here in the church because they're kept back because of the restrictions placed upon us in society, or because of the restrictions placed upon them in Providence because of ill health and the difficulty of travel. I'm not talking about the place of worship as being in this building now. It's an attitude. It's an attitude which works out in gathering together as we're able, where we're able. That's where to begin. To begin at the place of worship. You know, the Lord in Providence has brought us low, hasn't He? He's brought us low as a church. There was a day when everyone went to church, and the concern was if a person might withdraw themselves. It's no longer like that. Today, few come. But the concern is, will the Lord withdraw the word? Will He take the church away? But we find encouragement in this passage. And if we ourselves will humble our hearts and seek after God, and if we ourselves will be stirred with a spirit of repentance to acknowledge the grace of God and the wonder of His mercy in Christ, that can animate in such a way as to show forth His praise, so that Josiah was made a blessing in his society. And it says in the final words of chapter 34, "And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers." The Lord has brought us low, friends, but He has not taken His word away. The word is all but forgotten, but you have the word. Apply yourself then. The word of God, for the entrance of His word gives light and makes wise those that simple are. Amen. Let's pray together.